All right, 97.1, good to have you. We are going to make tomorrow a very big Tigers day. We're not doing it today. We got football to finish with. We're in a pennant chase. I've got the full presentation ready for you, but we're going to get to it tomorrow. It's truly witchcraft because guys like Young, Keith, Torkelson, they're not hitting. Not the last 10, 12, 15 games or not. And you don't have a pitching staff. Yet, you have the number one pitching staff in baseball on an ERA and WHIP basis since August 1st. It's voodoo like you've never seen. And we're going to have a conversation about it tomorrow because it's fascinating. I don't know if people are even aware, quite frankly, because the Lions and Michigan, and to a way lesser extent, Michigan State, they take up the oxygen in the room. But you
knew that when September was going to roll around.
Well, yeah, that's baseball's problem. They go head-to-head with football in September, and unless your team is really hot or have been compelling all summer, you get lost in the shuffle. And look, the Tigers did some light selling. They sold Flaherty. Olson got hurt. You know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to yell and scream like some people at this station that they should have held on to Mark Canha, which is just an idiot opinion. The point is, here they are on the fringes of this playoff. So we'll get to it tomorrow. Today, we're trying to handle the college business, which is redefining expectations for Michigan and Michigan State. For Michigan, they got clowned. They didn't belong on the field with Texas. I think that's a bit of a reality check for people. Now, the question is, does it alter your expectation? For Michigan State, when you go to someone's place as an 8.5, 9-point underdog in conference, and you make a fourth quarter comeback, and you're led down the field by an 18-year-old quarterback and a 17-year-old receiver, and you win on the final play of the game, that gives you hope. If you really look at roughly the last 10 years of Michigan State, roughly, 16 was hopeless, 18 was hopeless, 19 was hopeless, 20 was hopeless, 21 was miraculous, 22 was hopeless, and 23 was hopeless. So hope has been in short supply. And one interesting thing, I wanted to pass this on. This isn't me doing this, and disregard it. I don't care. You guys can rip a fart in your car. ESPN has a list of the top freshmen in America. Who do you think number one freshman in America is?
Oh, Raiola?
He's number two. Dylan Raiola, Nebraska. Number one is Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State.
Yep, makes sense.
Number three is the freak show DN from South Carolina who showed out Dylan Stewart. Four is Alabama's latest NFL wide receiver, the super stud Ryan Williams. Number five, DJ Lagway. One of the biggest quarterback recruits to go to Florida. He got the start last week against Samford, not Mertz. He's five. Six, Ryan Wingo, wide out for Texas. Number seven, Nick Marsh, Michigan State. The point is, there's at least the ability to hope. Now, does that hope alter your expectation? I think it depends where you started. I was at seven preseason. Why? I cannot accept less. Not in the NIL portal era and not at Michigan State. So I'm staying at seven. But I was filled with at least a hope they're going to run the touchdown play. So I'm just...
And they did.
They did repeatedly. So look, that's where we're at. 248-539-9797. David, I'm going to get to the callers. We'll do ticket text next segment, okay? Does that work for everybody? Yeah. And we've gone around the room with it. For Michigan, I'm going 8-4. State, I'm going 7-5. David's got Michigan going 0-12. He's very hurt. He's got Michigan State at 7-5. Kenny's got State at 7-5. He's got Michigan at what, Kenny?
I said 8 wins for Michigan.
8-4. You've got Michigan at 7-5. You've got State at?
7-5.
2-10?
Yes, 2-10.
Okay.
No, a lot of 50-50 games that I tried to tell you this weekend. 50-50 games.
You had them losing 8 straight when they were down 10 in the fourth quarter. And because I had to walk you back.
Because
think
it
how
was
sick that
eight
is.
Straight. David, it was looking that way because, no, I said after Prairie View. Then.
So you were okay. So the stretch of four would come up. Yeah.
It was Boston College. It was Ohio State. It was Oregon. It was Iowa. It was Michigan. It was Indiana, who just beat somebody 77-3.
Whoa. You had them losing to Indiana?
Yeah, Indiana's good.
Hey, David.
Cignetti, okay. Cignetti don't play.
They have offense, but...
No, they got Cignetti, who makes Harbaugh premedicated look calm, Remember original Harbaugh ranting, raving, play sheets flying? That's Cignetti. He's a psycho.
Yeah.
You should have seen his halftime interview when they were playing FIU. Don't ask why I was watching. Probably had IU minus 17 and a half. Confirmed, did have minus 17 and a half. They interview and they go, Coach, what's the message to your team at half? And he looks into the camera like Christian Bale in American Psycho, and he just goes, and he walks away. This dude is a nut, but he's a damn good football coach. They're good, David. Now watch, they'll get killed by UCLA. All right, let's go to the people. We'll go to Rick. He's up next, 97.1. What's up, Rick?
Yo, Mike, thanks for taking the call, and yeah. I love you. Keep things real. 2 points, if I could.
Yes, sir.
Sherrone Moore, to start, that's what I called about. For 2 months, they've been building the narrative and excuse for when he does lose, in my opinion. Ward Emanuel just got an award for making the environment in Ann Arbor so conducive to excelling this weekend. Okay? Quit taking my coaches. I'm not going to go to the portal and get a guy. I got a dual threat quarterback. Give me a break. That's my first point.
Mm-hmm.
The second point is Kirk Cousins, Mike, I got to tell you, he's a football dude. I spent a lot of time in Minnesota with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And my take is all he did was make wideouts all pros. And you're talking Thielen, Diggs, Jefferson, Kyle Rudolph was a stud at tight end. Somebody had to get those guys the football for them to get the numbers and the accolades they got. So, yeah, he's in a new system. He's got a new coordinator. He's got new pieces to play with, whatever. But I just want to remind everybody, he had 350 yards at halftime last year with two starting linemen out against the Detroit Lions. So that's my take.
Yeah, and no, listen, I just don't think he's healthy. That's my big thing. I loved him going to Atlanta, but when he's in the pistol and he can't go under center and he looks very, I don't want to say wobbly. Him and Rodgers, same injury, look the same. Rick, they don't look healthy. They can't really move. So I'm going to wait before marrying Kirk.
And it may be one of those injuries that you really look good in 2 years after the injury, but these guys are getting up there in age, and you're paying them way too much money to sit there and wait until next season.
Right, right. I just Rico, when he was in Minnesota and the guys he was throwing to, like I say, to get the accolades and get paid, you got to get touches.
No doubt.
Somehow, all those guys found a way to get the ball because Cousins was throwing.
Cousins' issues don't reside, for me, regular season, Rick. It's the fact that you can't be losing home playoff games to Daniel Jones. You can't have horrendous performances down the stretch. You can't be 2-11 on primetime games and throwing pick sixes. He's always been good. And the problem is if you're only good, you get crushed in the NFL because you're not great. Quarterbacks have – look at what we face here in this town. People want to throw Jared Goff in a garbage can.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd. It's really not that much different than Kirk Cousins. Be careful what you wish for, because up next you got Nick Mullins' bulbous head being stuffed into a helmet, and that's your quarterback.
Or Hendon Hooker here.
Don't even go there. Let's go to Luke, 97.1. Luke, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Yeah. What's going on?
Good. So I think that there's even a scarier, deeper discussion as U of M fans that we don't want to have, even beyond the cheating. And this is pre-NCAA sanction or anything going on. And it seems to me that we're just not the program we think we are. We don't have the staying power of the other big dogs. How do you do 3 Big Ten titles, a national title, and you roll this out the very next year? Where's the playmakers? Where's the receivers? Where's the quarterback? Like what that caller said earlier, Ohio State, Georgia, Bama, they lose people to the NFL every year.
How about this? The team that kicked your ass on Saturday lost 12 guys to the draft. They didn't look short on talent.
No. And the best programs just replace, replenish, repeat. And I think the truth is we don't do that. We don't recruit like it. We don't have the talent like it. And I always thought that the 5th-year, 6-year COVID option stuff, 23-year-olds playing 19-year-olds really helped us. And, what I'm watching now, It just, and I know we beat Ohio State 3 years in a row and just won a national title, but nothing about our program feels like we have the same footing and foundation as them.
No, you don't. And I mean, if you look at the last 3 years, and obviously I will always defer to Rico on the recruiting stuff. Luke, it's been his deal for 20 years. You're not recruiting like those schools. Look, Luke, I want to say this, and I'm not being smarmy, like we're talking. I want you to understand the outside perspective, right? When guys like me look at it and we go, all right, in 2020, COVID saved you from having Ohio State put 100 on you and probably saved Harbaugh's job, right? What was the difference between that team that was clown-carring to a team that not only won a ton of games, won the Big Ten, beat Ohio State, you were clowning people. It was never the recruits. So the only thing we all looked at is after the story breaks is you go, oh, now I see. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Like, Luke, when you've got reports that Michigan State hadn't changed their signs in 3 years, and that's why Connor Stallions was on our sidelines, you don't get to tell me there's no strategic advantage to it. So, yeah, Luke, on the outside, that's the hard part is how did guys who didn't get more talented go from being, we're firing our coach, we're woeful underachievers, we can't beat Ohio State, to we now destroy Las Vegas, we bomb everybody, you can't score on us.
Well, Mike, and I'm going to add to this, when Rieger sent me the clip of the Ohio State player who said,
it's Cade Stover.
Yeah, Cade Stover. We had a play we hadn't run before, and somehow they knew the play.
They were yelling screen on the motion. They had never debuted it. They'd only practiced it. I know.
Yeah.
My point is, when I say that to Luke and I say that to you, the listeners, none of it's yelling, none of it's screaming. It's understanding that stink, that whole like association with what you were doing. When you look the way you look against Texas and you go, oh, well, we beat Washington on the square. Well, here's the problem. Advanced scouting. You already had the goods on them. You already had the goods on all these teams, right? That was my whole point. Is like, only once you got rid of those people, and only once that's all gone, you now go and you go, well, wait, where's all the talent? Where is it?
See, I think you beat Washington and Alabama because you had talent. It's the Barry Bonds effect. Barry Bonds is going to hit home runs. He didn't need to take steroids, but he did. And it aided him, but it was going to happen regardless.
But what was the difference between you and Ohio State? Why did you unlock an ability to be? Now, again, before the cheating broke, I thought, all right, they broke Ohio State's mind. Mm-hmm. The reality is when you go back some of those games, look at the videos from those games.
Wide open plays. Yeah.
How about the fact that they were allowing blitzers into the backfield and having the perfect play called with 60, you know, guys open 60 yards on the field? Mm-hmm. Well, now when Cade Stover does an interview and gives you a very specific example of what was going on. Well, naturally, the jokes write themselves. And no one here is yelling and going screaming crazy. Look, guys, it is what it is. When you call up and go, we don't look like those other programs, what I'd argue is you never did. Then all of a sudden, through mysticism, you became the program.
Right. All of a sudden, you went 40-3 in the regular season.
And then we figured out why TCU, of all teams, was the team that was able to beat you because they were made aware of your cheating and did the reverse
of the reverse psychology. Right.
So that's why it's difficult for scumbags like us. Sorry. So question, in our redefining of expectations, we're going to get to the Tigers tomorrow, by the way. We're not ignorant to three games out, and we told you, if they got three games out, we're going to term it a chase. We're going to get after it. Tomorrow is going to be a Tiger day. I got a full presentation. I want to ask a question as we're talking about Michigan State and Michigan and redefining of expectations. I don't want people to be scared if their expectations haven't changed. So let me frame it this way. What if Texas is the second best team in America? Like, what if they're actually that good? And your only crime is you're just not them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Oregon does not look like what at least I thought they would be. Ohio State is fine enough. They've played nothing. You know, USC. Okay, LSU was only up 7 on Norfolk State last week in the second half. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm making a point. If you're in your mind, if you go look, These two Kermit the Frog slap bleeps. I still think this team, guys, you have every right to say it. We're asking the question, but it has been an avalanche of Michigan fans, almost like having a near-death experience and going, okay, the world is different.
No, I think it was a come-to-Jesus moment. But yeah, if you still believe your team can make the playoffs, 248-539-9797.
Say it with your chest.
But I think what happened was they just didn't lose the game. They lost the game at home, embarrassing style. And Mike, there was no excuse. You can't say, well, it was raining, it was snowing, it was bad weather, it was windy.
Guilty. I thought it would be windier. The forecast said it would. I thought they'd run it, kind of play keep away. I thought they'd play better. I was so wrong.
It was a perfect game, which gave you no excuse of saying, oh, well, if this, no one got injured, so you couldn't say, well, if this guy play, well, if Loveland didn't go down, we would have won. None of that happened.
I'm still trying to figure out how Loveland fumbled that ball.
It was easy. I mean, I think because Loveland is starting to feel the pressure. If I don't do it, nobody's going to get it done. And he started to make moves before he secured the ball, and that's how he ended up losing it.
That was wild.
No, it's unfortunate. He's trying to be the leader of the team because he knows.
Unfortunate. That was great. David,
I was angry. More than unfortunate.
David, you should be. No, that's the kind of stuff I've endured the last 2 years.
But you've seen it when all of a sudden there's a player and they start going outside of what they are. That's normally when the turnovers happen because you're trying to be everything. And on that play, he thought he was going to score 19 points and get them back in the game.
David, take a text and we'll get to the callers.
I'm at 8 for MSU, was at 7 preseason and 4 after FAU. That is Jimmy. The MSU grad with a job, he says.
I think if you that was Rico's remark. If you want to get to 8, you got to show me a win at Boston College. I'm just not ready to go there yet. Look,
see, 8 for me is you win one of those 4 games in the middle, and now I'll change it.
Do you want me to take you to the Iowa game as a guest? I will set you. I'll even get you a +1. You can bring your dentist.
Is somebody going to throw the flag?
You're going to make some major halftime adjustments.
Yeah. I don't have it, but yeah.
Can I get a review in New York, really?
Hey, Mr.
New York has come down and
Mr. Dean Blandino says the call on the field stands. But no, my whole thing is I'm not ready to do anything with Michigan State. I was at 7. I'm going to stay there. It's hope. I don't have a right to expectation yet. This kid is 18 years old, but he showed what we paid for.
Yeah. For him, yeah, I just need him to get some touch on the ball so that everything is not a 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
Comes in time.
I understand, and when you have a wide-open target in the end zone, throw it to the guy wearing the same color jersey as you.
I've heard that. David, go ahead.
Darren in Kansas says, for me, I've called out my hot take. I was 8-4 to start, but now I'm 5-7.
Oh, my God.
Losing to USC, Oregon, OSU, then 3-4 between the Illini, MSU, Minnesota, and Washington.
No, just play the no. Stop. I'll tell you right now, if this team goes 5-7, you better hope Sharon didn't sign his contract. That's insanity. Come on.
Where's that napkin again? Ball it up and throw it away.
Oh, I'm trying to think who would be the next coach.
Michigan goes 5-7. That's absolutely Rico's response. He'll be ready for a teeth cleaning.
Where is that from?
When he said something about Aiden Childs and what he reminds him of, and then you said, it was a sarcastic response.
Cam Ward, okay.
Let me go to Scott 97.1. Scotty, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, hey guys, thanks for your continued discussion on football, but I gotta say three things. I'm driving back to Scumland, East Lansing.
Okay.
Go Green.
Yes, sir.
Go Green. And a couple of things. First, Aiden Childs needs just to learn a little bit to set his feet, and he's young. I get it. But he can throw a bullet. And if he sets his feet, and he can watch on the tape, which I did, you see, when he steps into his throws, everything's beautiful. Number two, Michigan State needs to use the tight end a little bit more. I know they got problems on the interior line. They got to fix that out. But a little bit of rolling and play action and use that tight end like State used to do years ago would pay him dividends. And finally, number three, for the Lions, let's give some love to the punters. Let's give some love to Dak Fox. I used to punt in high school. I was all conference. Oh. And to see him punt like he does, he flips the field. It changes the game. He doesn't get enough credit. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Listen, and congrats on that all-conference selection. Look, I think to the Michigan State tight end conversation, it's very simple. This is a tale of two offensive lines. Run blocking, no bueno. Their pass protection, if you buy into Pro Football Focus, and then certainly the results, they've been good so far in pass pro. Velling, Masunis, I want to see more of the safe stuff. Mm-hmm. Look, I love cutting it loose. I love you got a staff that's willing to throw the ball. Sometimes a six-yard gain is a huge win. And Jack Velling, it's been a very uneven start.
See, I don't think that Velling is Aiden Child's guy. Like, even though they came from the same school, there's no chemistry there.
Well, develop it, damn it. He had 8 touchdowns for Oregon State.
Well, no, that's why I thought in the first game, I'm like, man, it's him and Nick Marsh. They're thick as thieves. But these two are like, hi, I'm Jack. Remember me? I was there in Corvallis.
It's been uneven. And look, as State fans, I've been jealous of what Michigan has done with the tight end spot for years because it's been so long since MSU had a tight end that I felt like, do we even use this guy? Like, Jay Johnson didn't believe in it.
No.
I mean, the last time we had a tight end I really liked would have been Josiah Price.
I mean, Carr made some – he made some big plays. Mikey
that
was a
guy,
consistent.
He was a mutt.
Nah, he made some plays.
He was a mutt.
He made plays.
I don't want to hear about it.
Plays.
Effort concern.
Such a hater.
248-539-9797. All right, let's get to the people. What's up?
That was your face during Luke's update with the class action lawsuit.
Oh, the word frivolous came to mind. Like, are you kidding me? Okay, then.
But Anthony Carter didn't want to join in on this?
Yeah. Good luck. Benny Oosterbaan wants his money. Let's go to Phil, 97.1. Phil, what's going on, pal?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for having me today. Love the show.
Thank you, buddy.
So confidence for Michigan State. Yeah, I think one thing that I haven't been hearing a lot today to me, from just a pure eye test, I don't have stats in front of me or anything, is the Michigan State defense. You know, I'm seeing a lot of aggression there. I'm seeing the ability to make splash plays and really keep our team in it, right? To borrow from Dan Campbell, you know, we'll tread water as long as it takes to beat you. And I think with the defense that we got going on with Joe Rossi, they're going to keep getting the ball back to Aiden Childs and let that offense, that young offense, get more and more reps, get more and more confidence. And I think, you know, 7 to 8 games really isn't crazy out of expectation.
Here's what's interesting, for me at least. I don't speak for Rico on this. Phil, 2 weeks, they're going to play Boston College. What I've been impressed by so far has been the front seven and stopping the run. And again, we haven't played Barry Switzer's Sooners. So I'm not getting carried away. But if they're 75% of this, and they're actually going to be tough to run against, that does open a whole new window up for them in some of these coin toss games.
Yes.
I got to wait and see, because BC will be, by far, the most physical, run-oriented team they're going to face in the first month of the year.
But, Phil, I would say this to you and Mike. On third down, you have to get off the field. You can't just let them pick up third and
then
8.
Then stop rushing 3, Joe. You can't rush 3 people.
Yeah, that wasn't working.
Sorry.
Absolutely. And then on the Michigan front, if I can go real quick, you know, obviously I think the expectations deserve to be low after this past performance. And the main reason there is I think all the culture they had, even though it was kind of a scumbag culture, left with Jim Harbaugh. And there's nothing for them to rally behind. And instead of Sharon Moore getting on TV, crying, saying, I effing love you, coach, he's going to be saying, I effing miss you, coach. And they're just not going to get the wins they want.
Yeah, I mean, you hate to see it. Phil, listen, I think the other thing for me, Rico, and this is one, and I maybe you could get me the intel on this. It's what I greeted you with when I called you. And I believe my direct quote was, get Cal Halliday off the effing field on third down. How's your day going? Like, I'm just an idiot watching the game. They are targeting white guy number 27 every third down. Where's dude with no gloves throwing there?
Here's a little known secret. Last year, everybody bashed the secondary. Oh, my goodness, they're horrible, they're horrible. Go back and rewatch the games. Mike, it took you a year. But what teams did is said, okay, where's 27?
Find him and abuse him.
That's Every first down was him.
Why
he falls for the inside move? Nope, going outside.
Why is he on the field on known passing downs?
He's,
I want you to get the answer.
Okay.
I demand it.
Look, I got you the touchdown.
No, you're sitting there at Alan Haller's cocktail hour. Go get me the answer.
No, I was actually in the president's suite, but go ahead.
Then get me some damn presidential answers. Why is 27 on the field on known passing downs?
No,
unacceptable.
Because I think they are thinking, it's the okie doke. They're really going to run the ball. No, they're not.
On 3rd and 11, like hell.
It's called a draw.
Make a phone call.
Okay.
You come on.
What do you want me to do?
Well, you told me you could fix the stadium. I figured getting me a personnel answer might be doable.
I don't think LaRonda has anything to do with that.
Call your dentist then. She's got the answers. You seem to respond there.
We know this.
There's flax all over the place, man.
Can I get some ejections, David?
What was that? Let's go to Rick. Let's go to Rick 97.1. Rick, what's up, buddy?
No, that was funny. So with Michigan, here's what I don't understand. Why is Sherrone Moore going to do the same thing that Jim Harbaugh did when he started coaching? So when he first started, he didn't have a quarterback. The worst thing he could ever have was success with Jake Rudock, because after that, he chased it. Instead of just when he had all the goodwill, you just take a year, develop a quarterback. If you win more games than you lose, cool, nobody's going to care. Well, it's obvious you have no quarterback. What's wrong with Jaden, the freshman? Put him in, develop him. If you win, you win. If you don't win a whole lot, you don't. But the expectations weren't that high. But now next year, you're going to be chasing the same thing.
Rick, I think it's what you're saying makes 100% sense. The problem is if you play Jaden Davis, what you are saying is we're hitting the reset button, and that's not something that Michigan fans want to hear, because every year you're supposed to be competing for a title. No one wants to punt a year away and say, let's divide. Rick, you're correct. If your quarterbacks are this bad, just concede this year. Look at it like the first year of Rich Rod. Wait until I get my quarterback and things will get better.
But, okay, Rico, here's the thing. I'm a Michigan fan. And so you're speaking for Michigan fans saying we don't want to hear that. We won our natty. Whether you want to respect it or not, I don't care. But
you
you shouldn't care.
Okay, that's fine. So I know what it is. And I saw the eye test on the field. These quarterbacks are garbage.
They're not good.
So no, Rick.
Guy that's supposed to be good, I'll take the L. I would have taken an L the first year of Harbaugh without – if it meant I didn't
Rick, hold on. I think you two would get along much better. Just understand, you're the minority.
Right.
It's not challenging your opinion on what you want. It's that when we talk to Michigan fans daily,
they don't want that.
And Rick,
you're smart. I agree with what you're saying. I've said this at the beginning of the year, and people were like, no, we're not going to do that. Okay, good luck.
But Rick, here's what I would tell you. If you lose to USC in 2 weeks, I think you have every right to pound the pavement and demand, hey, let's develop a guy for next year. If you lose to USC, I can't yell about it now.
No, Penn State did it with Drew Aller, and now, like it or not, he's one of the better quarterbacks. You take your lumps. Rick is in the minority. Rick is smart. I agree with that, because if things keep going this way, that's when you got to say, how many games are we going to win with these two rotating in at quarterback?
And what is it set up for next year?
Right. And if you're going to go 7-5, then maybe we just go 5-7. But next year we take the Big Ten by storm.
I got to wait for the USC game. Does that make me bad?
No, it doesn't.
I think your second loss, and certainly a conference loss, would be like, all right, playoffs aren't in the cards this year. We got a guy we're excited about. Now, again, I don't know if Jaden Davis is even remotely ready to play. I can't answer that.
At the time, it was three quarterbacks in the rotation to win the job. He was one, but because he was a freshman, he was kind of pushed to the side and said, going to redshirt you. We're going to let these other two go. Week 4 is going to say a lot about this state. We may be doing this topic again in 2 weeks.
Good with it. All right, David, if you were to take a text, get the phone calls. We got to knock out the Big Ten Power Rank top of the hour. We will get to the Lions later in the day. And yes, Pennant Chase is on. Tigers have gotten within three. That means we start the engines. Tomorrow, going to be a heavy Tigers day. I've got some numbers, some stuff, and we're going to have a conversation because we get to, I don't care how it happens. I don't care what mysticism they're doing. It doesn't matter. It's that it's happening. So we'll get to it, but we're going to do it the right way tomorrow. We had to button up football today. David, what do you have on Ticket Text?
Michigan fan here. I had Michigan going 8-4. I have reevaluated and expect 6-6.
Okay, hold on.
I had Michigan State at 7-5. I'll bump to 8-4.
What would I have to donate to Greater Life Church for MSU to go 8-4 and Michigan to go 6-6?
Nothing.
I mean, could you be like Dionne Warwick and do one of those, I give you money and you pray for me? Like, what can I do? Can you send me a bottle of, like, holy water?
Miracle spring water?
Yeah, something. Give me a prayer bracelet.
Don't worry, Mike. We pray for you anyway.
Thank you. There is no world they go 6-6. None. Guys, you're overreacting. Like, what if Texas is just really good?
Mike, if it was just Texas, but you went out there and you dominated Fresno State, I'm with you on that. But I look at the Fresno State game. You won because you just had better players than them. They had a better game plan than you had. Your players just made big plays and made it look like, oh, well, it was no big deal because Will Johnson took the ball back 90-some yards to score that touchdown. That made Michigan fans feel a little better about themselves. But when you look at it, Fresno State exposed that defense. And then Texas just said, okay, we got you from here. So
I was shocked that Texas was able physically to run the football the way they were. Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham are destroyers. Now, Mason has had a way better start to the season. Kenneth Grant's been a bit of a ghost. But Texas, in this process of building a team, last year, I thought they were more sizzle than steak, but I thought they had the goods. Rico, they've kind of turned into like...
Sark came in with the game plan.
They kind of turned into Alabama a little. Vintage Bama of like, oh no, we're physical too.
Mike, it, as you would like to say, it turned into a pizza game where...
You're going to eat the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
David?
For MSU, I upped my expectation to 7-5. If AIDS continues to progress throughout the season and cuts down on mistakes, it really shouldn't be a problem.
It would be AIDO if we were using the Doug Karsh nickname game.
You're right. It would be AIDO. How much AIDS.
Do you think that's Doug's biggest professional regret? Was blurting out his affectionate nickname for Donovan Edwards live on the air? You could feel the regret. Like, Doug wanted to somehow reach out into the universe and pull that audio back into his soul. And then Gator, and I said this, I go, Scott, that might be your greatest accomplishment in radio. 30 years in the game, you calling Doug on that, stopping the show.
He turned that 85-mile-an-hour fastball the other way.
He did what the Father in a Christmas Story did when Ralphie dropped that bomb, holding the lug nuts. What did you just say? And he put Doug in the back seat of the car. Dono.
That was outstanding. That was amazing. Someone says I have Michigan at 6 wins now.
No, come on.
Michigan State at 8.
Okay, no. Mike, I guess the question for me is, and I really want to hear from these people, where are the people who either still believe Michigan is going to make the playoffs or had high standards for Michigan and said, I'm not budging. I still think they can win 10 games.
I want to know how one game against a top three opponent has taken you to the depths of 6-6. I can't go there.
I think it's the quarterback situation because you don't see something you can build. Like, Mike, when you called me and you're like, hey, Aiden Childs still is a work in progress, but I see something here.
I was happy and you were like, ah, we're losing 10 in a row.
Hey, I'm just like, throwing his third interception.
The whole I had... When I have to cheer you up, you know things are effed up.
And I get it. But he was good in the second half.
David,
the
last 5 minutes hadn't happened yet. And okay, I'm sitting there just like,
you were on Fansville. Doing? You were the hype train Fansville people. Rico jumped off the train.
Just like, I'm hitting the portal.
had had it. I'm like, you know, I see some positives here. Oh, my God, we're never winning another game again. I'm like, what is going on
here? I'm like, that stretch that's about to happen, I included BC and I included Indiana because I'm watching your boy Cignetti, and I'm like, and Indiana ain't joking. Yes, they're playing bad teams, but they scored on 11 straight drives, touchdowns, not field goals. That 77 was real.
If there is an American Psycho remake, just hire Cignetti to play the lead. You don't need Christian Bale. Cignetti's nuts. Yeah,
but it was like, even like when they scored the touchdown play and then on the kickoff, he kicks it out of bounds. Like, you guys just, you can't get right. Just do something.
He's turning into me. Go ahead.
No, seriously. Right after the Nick Marsh touchdown, oh, we're going to kick the ball and you give him the ball at the 40. Wow.
MSU wins 8. Surprise someone. Michigan goes 6-6. No QB equals disaster. So
I
want to answer your question.
I want to state for the record, I think you people are crazy that Michigan's going 6-6. Barring unforeseen devastating injuries or opt-outs, or like the NCAA nukes your stadium. Okay, come on, guys. It's one game against Texas.
It's the lack of playmakers. That's, I think, is the big thing that
I got to tell you, I do have a least favorite player on Michigan now. It doesn't take much. Like, I who's number zero?
Samaj.
Oh.
Is that Samaj Morgan?
I believe so,
You mean Roy Williams? Bro, you're down by 30. Awesome. I don't need you doing first down when you catch 4-yard pass.
Oh, you saw that too.
Oh, and then the touchdown. I'm like, oh, somebody reel this guy in. Come on, buddy. We're down 50 here. We don't need
a touchdown late. He's celebrating like we just won the game.
I just say, didn't need that.
He's doing it for Insta, man.
Excuse me?
He's doing it for the Insta.
Okay.
David, not the Graham anymore. It's
David, you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
For my least favorite segment?
Oh, yeah.
It is time.
Hey, I put a lot of work in this. I had the glasses on and everything.
He really did. He was slaving away for like an hour and a half before the show, just writing, scratching things off, writing more things down.
I can't
wait. Had the stylus out, erasing things. I've changed it 4 times in an hour and a half.
All right. It is time. God help me. We'll do this. Big Ten Power Rank next.
You know what? If you're going to do it right. I hate you.
97.1.